What is good, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. It's your boy Caleb, and we're running a little bit behind today, so we have no time to waste. It's probably gonna be a shorter pod. Already about 11 o'clock on the West Coast, and we got games starting up in about 5 hours. So I hope y'all are doing well. Let's get right into it. Yesterday was fucking nuts, and it was not a good day betting for us. But I can live with it, given that was as surprising a result as I can remember in terms of Nuggets Wolves. And we'll talk about the Knicks Pacers in a little bit. But we're gonna start with the Wolves and the Nuggets. Let's just get into the buildup before even, right? Like, so you got game one, the Wolves come out on fire. The Nuggets pretty quickly bring it right back. And it's kind of back and forth. Nuggets pull away. Not pull away, but take a nice little lead there. Early third. And then the Wolves come back and win in crunch time and are just a better team in crunch time and pull it out. Ant goes for 40, whatever. And it's like, all right, fuck. The Wolves stole one, man. The Wolves stole one. As you guys know, I talked about it on the big playoff preview and yesterday's slate. I'm like, all right, grabbing the Nuggets plus 110, grabbing them. We grabbed the money line with Knicks, which Knicks was a sweat. And for us to get there on that sweat and just have the Nuggets get blasted, it hurt, but we had those two. And then I was already on my book when the Rudy Gobert news broke. Hold on. Excuse me. And so I grabbed the team total as well because I'm like, all right, or I'm getting some value on the team total. Rudy's out as well. At that point, he was still questionable, but, you know, didn't end up playing. And then the Wolves just destroy the Nuggets. Many teams, right? And it's – I want to make this clear. This bet was never disrespect of the Wolves. This was – I've been on record saying this Wolves team is a championship caliber team. But to me, the Nuggets have had the league in a chokehold for the last 2 years, especially offensively, and many worse teams have won game two at home after losing game one. Like this, the Wolves could have done whatever in game one, and I would have been on the Nuggets. And so I was just shocked from a team that has championship pedigree, who has the best player in the league, a really good coach, a really good coaching staff, a great co-star, great defenders, at what went down yesterday. And I think the thing is, the thing about it is like, yeah, you know, the Nuggets aren't playing to the standard that they, you know, are normally playing to. But really the majority of it comes down to the Wolves and how they're playing. And defense is so important. We've talked about it. Defense is so important in the playoffs, but it's not just because you stop a team from scoring. When you stop a team from scoring, you now get to go down and run back at them with a non-set defense, with a little bit more space, with a little bit more pace, and that builds rhythm, not just for your star players, but for your role players. And so when you get stops and are constantly running back at a non-set defense, it allows guys like Neil Alexander Walker and Jaden and Kat and whoever it may be to get flowing, to get some rhythm, to take non-pressure shots. And that is how you build rhythm. And now the Wolves are cooking. I had never seen a defensive performance like that where it's everyone, right? Like it wasn't even just like Rudy, right? That yesterday was proof of like, it's not just Rudy. Rudy is huge and Rudy's a huge part of that defense, but the ball pressure, like Neil Alexander Walker, Jaden McDaniels, and Anthony Edwards are all elite on ball defenders. And what they do a great job of too is sticking to guys, fighting over screens, and making everything tough to the point where it's like, if you want to get it to Jamal, we're going to make you work really, really hard to get it to Jamal. To well, the point of even if Jamal finally does get it, 10 seconds are gone, he's a little bit gassed. And he still has to try and break down an elite on-ball defender. And if he does, there's help there. And then we go into Yoke. They've done an unbelievable job of, okay, double Yoke, take away the next two closest guys, and make that next pass the guy furthest away to the point where even when he does make that pass, we're able to get back because the ball's in the air so long. So it's just been an incredible performance. This thing is not done yet, right? The Nuggets are the champs for a reason. Nikola Jokic is the best player in the league and a two-time MVP for a reason. But the alarm bells are going off, absolutely, in Denver. It is very, very tough to win a series where you come out and lose the first two at home. And it's been done before. It has actually been done before. And I would not count out Denver in this series. But holy shit, do the Nuggets deserve respect? Because they can win in a multitude of ways. And really, when you have that defense, you're going to be in almost every game. I'm done fading the Wolves. I'm sure the Nuggets are going to put together a good performance in game three. I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't, given these first two games. But like, that defense is nuts. It is absolutely nuts. I haven't seen a team defense like that in a while. And it's just so consistent. And they have essentially taken away – they've essentially made two really good offenses – have zero rhythm for six games, which is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And in this last game, they didn't even have their defensive player of the year. It's crazy. Now, Knicks Pacers was a really fun game. Knicks end up winning the game. I kind of like the Pacers moving forward. I'm not going to sit here and just blindly bet them the rest of the way, or I'd consider their series price, though, because to me, in the half court, the Pacers are getting better looks. And that was just one game, and adjustments will be made. But I think that is an edge, and you see it with the Knicks. Dude, the pace, it's not even that like the Pacers are getting all these fast break points, and they do at times. To me, what stands out is just the pace in which they play in the half court. Ball's never stopped. Ball's always moving. Oh, I don't have it. Boom. Ball's reversed. And they always create some sort of action within pace to get themselves good looks. And I really felt like they were the better team. The Knicks, credit the Knicks, right? And it was similar in the Sixers series where you could argue the Sixers were better in a lot of those games, but the nuts on that team and how they just continue to grind and they continue to come at you no matter what, it was enough to get it done at home. This is going to be a hell of a series. It's going seven. And I honestly think the Pacers are a decent look in some of these games, especially when they're underdogs. Obviously, they'll be small favorites at home in games three and four, barring nothing crazy changes with injuries. But definitely came away impressed with the Pacers. I know they lost, but I mean, they were, in my eyes, were the better team and just came up short. But like the shot making's there, and just the offense is, it just hums. And you see the pace in which they play with. It's really hard if the Knicks are going to continue to stick with 6-7. You know, I know Precious played a little bit, but 7.5 guys to keep up with that pace over the course of the series. Pacers are in this thing, and I would not be shocked at all if they win it. Might be worth a sprinkle at the adjusted price of, I don't know, it's probably up in the 300-400s at this point. I may take a look at that one. Anyways, let's get into today. We've got the Cavs and the Celtics. Spent some time talking about the Cavs Celtics. Only way I could go is Celtics, guys. To me, this Cavs team still doesn't like that. They're almost every team left in these playoffs has optimized the group that they have, right? Some teams are more talented than others, but no matter who it is, whether it's the Knicks, Pacers, Nuggets, Timberwolves, Mavs, Thunder, Celtics, all seven of those teams, in my opinion, have in general optimized the group that they have. And I don't feel like the Cavs are like the one team left to me that has not optimized the group that they have, where you're not, I don't feel like they are getting the most out of the talent level that they have in Cleveland. So I think that's one thing, right? Two, the Celtics are just more talented and better. Three, I think when you see the Cavs limp to the – not even limp, I won't say limp, but just barely make it through in that first series, right? Like, they just barely got there. And the Celtics have been chilling at home. Maybe you get some rust versus some rust. You could take that angle, I guess. But, like, to me, you have a well-rested Celtics team, albeit without Kristaps Porzingis, who is much better. Who, again, this is not their first time doing this. I don't expect any, like, not being ready for the moment, not being good to go type of thing from the Celtics, like we've seen in the past. And I only way I could go today is Celtics minus the 12. Truly is Celtics minus 12. And I think this is a route. I know I would be shocked. Again, we'll go back to I was shocked with the result yesterday, but I would be pretty shocked if the Celtics didn't cover 12 in one of these games. And I think in both of these games, they're going to be up a significant amount in the second half, and it's going to come down to do the Cavs backdoor them. And that's always something you subject yourself to when you take a 12-point spread, a double-digit spread. But I do think the majority of the time the Celtics are going to get there. They're a well-oiled machine on offense. They're honestly a good defensive team. And from the Cavs side of things, I just don't know that there's enough offense there. And Donovan Mitchell is going to do his thing, but I would expect, one, you have, you know, Drew or Derek White on him. Two, you probably see some doubles as well and force other guys to beat you. And maybe they do. Maybe they come out today and Strus is hitting shots and Garland's hitting shots and Yang's and Okoro's hitting shots. But to me, I have not seen enough sustained offense from this team to feel comfortable at all in this. I think both these teams are tough for props as well, just because the Celtics are so spread out, right? Sometimes it's JT, sometimes it's JB. A lot of times it's Derek White, right? If anything, I like Derek White. He's got his PRA is at 25.5. We can go through his five games in Miami, which again, a lot of those were very, very low scoring games. Derek White had 25-5-2. The counting stats actually haven't been super high. 25-5-2, 38-4-3, 16-5-3, which 13-1-4. And 23-4. So we hit that in four out of the six games, even the game in which he didn't. Well, one of the games in which he didn't, he was right there. If anything, I kind of like points with Derek White. 25, 38, 16, 13, and 20. His points today sitting at 16.5. So again, would have got there in four out of the six. And one of those games, they absolutely blew Miami out. Didn't need to play more than 30 minutes. Or he played 30 minutes and he finished at 16. So he's also hit 4, 2, 2, 8, and 5 threes. I don't hate Derek White. He's probably my favorite look in this initial game one. But again, you gotta kind of wait and kind of see how these game ones go. In my opinion, unless you have a really, really sharp lean. But I mean, his threes is over 3.5. Granted, it's plus money, but if he hits four threes or even three threes, that's half, you know, that's half his points prop right there. I like Derek White, 16.5 at home. And in general, I like the Celtics tonight. I do like the Celtics tonight. All right, next game. This is going to be a hell of a game. If you didn't know already, we are on the Mavs. Plus 110. Right now they are back to 105. Pacers plus 305. Just real quick. Pacers plus 305 is interesting. Again, I do think the Knicks won in seven, but there is some value there on the Pacers, in my opinion. Anyways, we'll get to Thunder, Mavs, and this is a game that I just want to watch. I'm not going to bet anything early. I am on the Mavericks coming into this, and I guess we'll recap for those that haven't been there. To me, experience absolutely matters. And we see it's not an end-all be-all, right? Like, it's not to the point where you're going to ignore a clear talent difference. Like, you can't just, oh, this team's more experienced. So I don't care that this team's better. But I will say, it in matchups where the talent level is very similar, I think it can be an edge. And really, that's what I'm at here. This is the Thunder's first go-around for everyone involved. Everyone involved, besides maybe Kenrick Williams, but the coach, the best players, this is their first go-around at it. And they disposed of the Pelicans pretty quickly and easily. But to me, this Mavs team is a different beast. I think you got a little bit better defense. And then clearly, you know, you have a much better offense on the Mavs side than you did the Pelicans. this is Luka's fourth or fifth playoffs. This is, you know, Kyrie's been in a million times, hit big shot after big shot. And to me, that's like the biggest difference is you've got the two best players on the Mavs with experience, having done it, having dealt with the physicality of the playoffs, having dealt with the grind of the playoffs, having dealt with seeing a billion different things and a billion different coverages. And that just gives me more faith in the Mavericks in a series like this. Now, I know OKC has home court advantage, and OKC is going to win some games, right? Like, I have this going seven, but I do think the Mavs are going to be able to get it done. And as for today, I don't know, right? You have a Mavs team that struggled in game one and against the Clippers. And in the past, have not always won their game ones, right? I think they've treated them a lot of times as more feel-it-out games. And I think the Thunder are going to be all gas in this one. So, if anything, I honestly don't hate the Thunder minus 3.5 in this game, in a game that's super, super important from them. Obviously, you've got to defend home court, right? And I think they come out strong here today. I'm not going to play it. I'm not there enough to play it, but I do like that. And then I also like the under 218.5. That first game they had against the Pelicans, the Thunder, that is, was crazy. It was crazy in terms of slow pace, grindy, grindy, grindy. And we've seen the Mavs, a lot of the Mavs Clipper games went to unders. I lost my train of thought because I checked some. They were unders for the majority of the series, and there were some games where the Mavs / Clippers shot the ball really well and it went over. But I think the pace is going to be decently slow here because of Dallas and because of the way they like to slow it down in the playoffs and have slowed it down in the playoffs. And the Thunder have a really good defense as well. So I do think that, especially in this first game in a feel-it-out game, that would point me towards the under, but again, it is not enough for me to play. But I mean, reminder that Pelicans Thunder game one opened up in the high 210s and it finished in like the 180s. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see I don't think that neither team is going to hit 100 here. I do think they'll hit, one of these teams will hit 100, but I think 218 is enough to play with it. I do like the under here, right? Like it 109, 105. Is flying under. I mean, not flying under, but it gets there. It gets there. All right. We've got only one game on Wednesday, and I'm kind of debating. Like, this is a pretty busy week for me, and so what I'm going to do is I'm not going to have a pod up tomorrow, but I'm going to talk Pacers-Knicks, which is Wednesday, now. And I know I've already hinted at it, but I like the Pacers. I like the Pacers plus the 5. I honestly don't hate them plus 165. And I don't hate over 220. The Knicks have a good defense. The Knicks have a good defense, and the Pacers really got whatever they wanted on the offensive side of the ball. And on the other side of things, like the Knicks took and made plenty of shots. So I like the over. It is going to require that these teams make shots at a high level. But I think both are capable. But to me, my favorite bet is the Pacers plus 5. And I do not hate the money line there at all. This is a Pacers team that really got whatever they wanted on the offensive side of the ball. And this team struggled in game one against Milwaukee. And it feels like since then, the nerves are gone. They know exactly what they're supposed to do on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, they don't always defend at a high level, but they try. They have a million guys that they can plug in. Miles Turner's playing the best basketball of his career. Pascal's done a great job of, hey, score when things get bogged down, right? Like, we're going to try and create a look for someone within this offense, but when that's not there, when clearly, okay, the shot clock's running down, he's doing a great job of being that guy to go get a bucket. Tyrese Halliburton probably not scoring the way that people wanted, and definitely not scoring the way he was earlier in the season, but still a great passer and gets the ball exactly to where it needs to be time and time again. look, I love this Knicks team. You guys know I've talked this Knicks team up, but watching game one, like, I was heavily, heavily watching that game. I watched every possession with focus, and to me, it just feels like what the Pacers are doing offensively is a little bit more sustainable. In terms of with the Knicks, you need Jalen Brunson to just be absolutely elite. And he can be, and he has been. But it's just a lot of pressure for an undersized guard without a ton of explosion or athletic pop, to say. And he makes up for it more than anyone really in this league does at this point. To continually, in isolation situations, find a way to score in the mid-range. Because the Pacers are leaving Nembhard on an island, not helping off shooters, and I think that's the way you play it, and just saying, JB, you're going to have to go get 40 points in the mid-range to beat us. And can he do it? Yeah, he just did it game one. But it's a tall task. It is hard to do 4 out of the 7 times. You got to do it more often than you don't. And so, to me, I just feel like what the Pacers did, at least in game one, and again, things can change like that. But to me, it just seems like what the Pacers are doing offensively is a little bit more sustainable than what the Knicks do, and that it requires elite shot making from Jalen Brunson. And not just Jalen Brunson, some of these other guys too, where they didn't get a ton of open threes. A lot of these threes were, okay, in transition, pull up, loose ball, kick out, offensive rebound, kick out. And that's where I'm at. I don't have props up for this game yet. It seems like Isaiah Hartenstein's going to be more of the go-to guy in this series. In game one, we can talk about some props. Again, I don't have them up, but Isaiah Hartenstein played 36 minutes compared to Mitchell Robinson, and Isaiah Hartenstein went for 13-6-4. His PRA was 22.5, and it just cleared by 1 in 36 minutes. So books are on their shit, but I don't hate Isaiah Hartenstein if you're getting props around there. Dude, Josh Hart on the PRA is something you got to consider. He's going to chip in every category. Going to play. He played literally every single minute last night. Played the majority of the minutes in Philly. There are always games where he may not score, but like in the Philly series, he scored 22, 21, 20, 18, 16, and then scored 24 last night, doing a good job getting downhill and in transition as well. So like Josh Hart too, but I'll tweet that out. Anyways, that'll do it, guys. For today, we got a great slate of hoops. To me, favorite play is the Celtics minus 12. Second favorite play would be the under in Dallas OKC, but Celtics minus 12 is my favorite play. And if you want to go first half, I don't hate that either. You're probably getting it 6.5, 7. Let me check. Probably 7. 7.5. 7.5. Still, don't hate that. I expect the Celtics to get up early. And then if they don't cover the 12, it's because they got backdoored. I love you guys. Best of luck to whatever it is that you end up playing. Again, no pod tomorrow. Only got one game. But make sure to follow me on Twitter at HoopsDrive for any play. And again, been a tough playoffs. But we're still locked in. We're not overreacting. Yesterday was tough. Just got to tip the cap to the Wolves. Love you guys. Peace.